Good morning, church.
Good morning.
All right, as I get my things together super quickly, first off, I did want to take a moment and say welcome. We're glad you're here. Visitors, if we have anybody visiting with us, we are especially glad that you're here. Thank you for joining us this morning as it's another glorious Sunday that we get to praise Jesus. Amen. If you are new with us, we have a blue card in the back of the chair in front of you, or there should be. If not, there's one next in the chair next to you that is for our visitors. And so basically, we'd like to know more about you and how our church can get to know you so we can better serve you. And if there are any new visitors with us, we'd love for you to fill out this information. You can leave it in your seat, or I will be in the lobby after service over by where the donuts and the coffee are on the west or east end of the lobby. And I would be more than happy to take this from you as well. But we are glad that all of y'all are here today. So before I get too far, let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll get into some scripture. Amen. Let's pray. God, we thank you for who you are. As we just sang, you're a good, good father. And I've heard people say, well, I don't like that song. I don't like that song because good, good isn't good enough to describe who you are. And God, I believe that. Good, good is a great way, but it doesn't match your level of greatness. God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you've done for us. And we thank you for the gift that you gave us by sending your son to die for us. God, we just pray that as we talk a little bit through scripture and what you've laid on my heart for this morning, I pray that you'll open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to what you have for us today. I just pray that you will allow this to be not a typical Sunday where we go through the motions, but a Sunday that you speak into our hearts and that you change how we see how we're supposed to serve you. We thank you and we love you. Amen. So, first off, before I get too far, I'm going to read the verse that's up there, the verses that's up there at the bottom. And I'm going to be primarily coming out of Philippians 1 through 11 today. But I'll also be going to 1 Timothy 4 as well. So if you have a Bible and you want to flip there, that's great. Otherwise, it'll be on your screens. But I'm going to read first I'm going to read Philippians 1:1 through 11. So you can follow along with me. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and the deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God for every remembrance of you, always praying with joy for all of you in my every prayer, because your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Indeed, it is right for me to think this way about all of you, because I have you in my heart, and you are all partners with me in grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how deeply I miss all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And I pray this, that your love will keep on growing in knowledge and every kind of discernment, so that you may approve the things that are superior and may be pure and blameless in the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So if you've read through the Bible, almost everybody agrees that Philippians is just a lovely book because it's one of the few books in Scripture, and it's the only letter that Paul writes that is 100% positive. A lot of people call it the happy letter because the church had things going right. And so this is a letter that I really like to go back and look at on occasion because they had so many things going right. And it's a great example for how we should be doing today. But before I get too far, the lovely thing about a church is that there's new faces all the time. And even though I've been here for about a little over 2 years now, Some of y'all might not know who I am. So I am Brent Aiken. I'm the youth pastor here. Lee, go ahead and throw up the picture. That's my family. All those were taken this summer, which was great. We had a lot of fun this summer, a lot of different vacations and trips. But I have been married for 9 years. It'll be 10 years in May. I have two boys. One is 6 and one is 3. Eli being the older of the two and Ollie being the younger. Yes, that is my 3-year-old in a go-kart. Before you get too judgmental, it is a go-kart place up in Ruidosa that has a track that is specifically built for 3 to 6-year-olds. And so he lit up because he loves cars, he loves driving, he loves anything to do with wheels. And so when we found a place that he could drive a go-kart on a track with like 2 other kids, he was thrilled. And so, I mean, he didn't want to leave. Every day we were there. After that, he kept saying, drive, drive, more track, more drive. And so he'd always be like, you know, let's go, let's go. I want to drive. Like, I can drive here. I like this place. So, but that's my family. Ironically, they're all in the children's ministry right now, including my wife. But we have had a lot of fun. And one of the things that has been really, really cool is I have had the ability to build a family while I've been in youth ministry. And so I've been doing youth ministry in a lead role for 9 years. And then I was in youth, of course, growing up in church for another 7 years. And so I have a total of about 16 years in youth ministry. And I've seen both sides of students walking out of our churches and walking into our churches. I've seen both sides of ministries and how they help a broken generation find their identity, freedom, and passion through Christ. And it's a beautiful thing. And it's also something that I can easily look back and say, yeah, that's not the right way. I shouldn't have done it that way. Because hindsight's 20/20, right? So, after all the things I have mentioned, though, we are still in the same pursuit of something. Just like all of y'all, we are called to make disciples in our communities and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyone. This requires attention in all of our age ranges and in all of our ministries that we have taken place within our church. Do we do this well, though? Because people in my generation and older continuously feed perceptions of teenagers that are negative, and that they are only being proven because we're not expecting them to be greater than that. The common perceptions of teenagers from adults, as you can see on the screen, are lazy, not responsible, disrespectful, just don't care. I don't know how many times I've heard that last one. Well, they just don't care about anything. It's like, have you asked them about what they do care about? And so the thing is teenagers, while might be different from when we grew up, when generations older than me grew up, they're still living and learning and trying to be the best they can be in the life that they're living. So I have a couple stories that go against the status quo of those perceptions. And I was at a conference one time listening to a youth pastor, and he lives on the east side of Dallas. And he had challenged his students to what had made them mad in the world and how they could change it. And so this high school girl, she was a freshman or sophomore at the time, she goes, well, I've noticed over my school time that every new year, as a new school year begins, I get a new haircut, I get new clothes, I get new shoes, I get a new backpack, I get a new school supplies, I get all this stuff, and then I go into my school the day that school starts, and there are so many kids that don't get that. And she was like, you know, that frustrates me, that makes me mad, because I don't think I should be the one that's privileged to do that. I think we all should. And so the youth pastor, being wise in the moment, was like, okay, you know what? How would you change that? And she said, well, why don't we do a backpack drive? Why don't we have it to where the first day of school, there are new backpacks on the front doors of this school with all the school supplies that they need for the year. Youth pastor said, okay, let's get it done. And with the help of a couple other adults through the church, they organized and they set a couple hundred backpacks on the front doors of every school in their city. It didn't stop there, though. The next year, they had their backpack drive again, and it continued, and they got department stores in the local area to donate racks upon racks of clothes. And so they had clothing racks outside of their schools on the first day where kids could pick out new clothes, go to the bathroom, put them on, and have that new outfit to go to school. Year three came around, didn't end there. They got hairstylists to set up mobile booths outside of the front of their school to where kids could get a haircut before school. Okay? That, while it might have been sparked by a youth, is more than likely adults in a congregation in action. Because the girl had the dream, but her by herself could never have done that dream. My second one, and this happened in Fairfield, the last church that I served at. A youth girl in another church in our town spoke up and she said, you know, I had a dream the other night and I can't shake it. And it was her mom or a friend's mom or something said, you know, what was your dream? And she said, I have a dream that God is wanting me to do a 48-hour worship service for the community of Fairfield. And the mom like stutter-stepped for a second and was like, 48 hours, that's a long time. Like, I mean, continuous 48 hours? And she was like, yes, like worship started and lasted for 48 hours. And so they got to work. And my family got to witness this community worship service that a few adults within the community stepped up and began to help her dream become a reality. The worship service was held at the county fairgrounds, and they had volunteers from churches, local bands, and groups from as far as 2 to 3 hours away come and do time slots of worship for free, all for the sake of this dream becoming a reality. So these are great testaments to students being willing to step out and do something within their communities, but the backbone of both of these great accomplishments is the church members, the adults that answered God's call to aid these students. These adults knew that God would respond to the bold faith of these students and firmly believed that God can work through anybody. And as someone that works with youth on a regular basis, I'm a firm believer of that too. The Apostle Paul is undoubtedly one of the most incredible testimonies to the power of God in Scripture and to the willingness of using everyone. Paul models the same open ministry mentality to Timothy in the letter that he wrote. We're going to look at 1 Timothy 4:6 through 13. And it says, if you explain these things, or if you point out these things out to the brothers and sisters, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, nourished by the words of faith and the good teaching that you have followed, but have nothing to do with pointless and silly myths. Rather, train yourself in godliness. For the training of the body has limited benefit, but godliness is beneficial in every way, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. This saying is trustworthy and deserves full acceptance. For this reason, we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone despise your youth, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, give your attention to public reading, exhortation, and teaching. So, Paul saw something too. Paul saw that God can use anyone. And we all are aware of Timothy not necessarily being one of the older people that God used. Timothy was often seen as a younger child, a younger student, and Paul took him under his wing, and Paul used Timothy for great things. But with that, he also had to mentor and discipleship Timothy so he could be who he needed to be. This should be an encouraging and open message that Paul brings. Not only should we nourish ourselves, but we should share what we learn with everyone in our congregation. The problem that lies with the mentality of the youth being the church of tomorrow means that we're not willing to invest in their lives now. I love when Jeff does that, so I wanted to do it. So, let me say that again. The problem that lies with the mentality of the youth being the church of tomorrow means that we're not willing to invest in their lives now. A renowned journalist within the Christian community, G.K. Chesterton, once said, "There are two ways of getting home. One of them is to stay there, and the other is to walk around the whole world until you come back to the same place." So, we can support, or we can try everything else under the sun, and then eventually get back to the realm where we need to support them. And so, where do we step in as a congregation? Where do we step in as a body of Christ that is full of believers in a church that is full of teenagers and kids? I don't know if, you know, outside of the weird progression today, we commented back in this corner, but I don't know if anybody noticed. Did y'all notice that they were all quiet and they all slowly walked out today? That was really weird. We all commented on that, though, back there. We were like, this is really strange. They're not jumping. They're not running. They're not yelling, especially my kids. They tend to like all that. And so how does a congregation step out and fill this void? So first, youth need a congregation that is willing to engage them. Paul wrote to the church in Philippi because he was the one that made the initial connection with the church of Philippi. If you're familiar with the book of Acts, it reads, and I'm going to paraphrase this just for the sake of time, but it reads basically Paul and Silas were on their missionary journeys. They were traveling all over together, and something happened. Paul has a dream of a Macedonian man that says, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." So Paul, being the responsible man he was, immediately called upon the rest of their committee members and sat in a 14-hour board meeting to plan and make sure their intentions were godly. Right? No. Paul immediately traveled to the town of Philippi due to the calling of Christ. He spread the gospel while he was there. He personally poured into the lives of three different individuals, which you can read about in Acts 16, that were the founding members of that church. Paul was called into action. God called Paul, Timothy, and Silas, and they moved. Their response and their action resulted in the planting of the church in Philippi. As Christians, we must practice and understand the importance of action. All good intentions and planning will be useless without action. Youth need a congregation that is willing to pray for them. Philippians 1, 3, and 4, as we read a little bit earlier, Paul begins his letter to the Philippians. I give thanks to my God for every remembrance of you, always praying with joy for all of you in my every prayer. Are you praying for the congregation in this church? Are you praying for the students in this church? Are you praying for the children in this church? Are you listening to the call that God might be asking you to mentor or grow these students in their faith journey personally? Do they know about it? We pray sometimes, but we hardly pray like their walk, their life, and their faith depend on it. So third, youth need a congregation that is willing to spiritually encourage them. Philippians 1:6, Paul is writing once again, and he says, "I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." That right there, in my best understanding, is sanctification. Sanctification's a bigger word that church circles use, and basically I boil it down to the fact that God's not done with you yet. Being spiritually encouraging is showing someone that there is hope through the failures of life. They need to know your flaws as a congregation. As the older people in this congregation, they need to know that life is not all sunshine and daisies. They need to know your flaws. Your flaws bring hope to others, especially younger in their faith. They also need to know that you haven't made it all the way yet. That's something I tell my kids up in youth all the time. I am not anywhere near being done, nor do I plan on being done for a very, very, very long time. But there's a beautiful authenticity to telling people that. You don't set up a false notion for others to trip on. Be honest and open about your faith journey. Don't tell all of your success stories. Like I said just a second ago, show them authenticity, show them your failures, show them your mistakes. There is no story more powerful to a young believer in Christ than them understanding that there's grace that covers mistakes. And unfortunately, I'm sure many people in this room can raise your hand and say, I wish I had learned that earlier. Amen? While telling about failures is important, you must tell them about what you learned in the process and how you developed your faith in Christ beyond that experience. Finally, youth need a congregation that is willing to cast vision over them. Philippians 1:9 says, and I pray this, that your love will keep on growing in knowledge and every kind of discernment. That is Paul casting vision over the church in Philippi. I pray that your love will continue to reach past anything that you ever dreamed of, that you will continue growing in wisdom and discernment, and that that will basically be the road that you take for your church. They have to see what they are able to be. Encouragement for growth is powerful beyond measure. Reggie Joyner, who is a pastor, an author, and the CEO of Orange Group, which is a pretty big ministry within church circles, is quoted saying that teenagers today receive 7 words of criticism to 1 word of encouragement in our society. The church needs to be the first place that that's fixed. 7 words of criticism to 1 word of encouragement. I don't know about you, church, but I wouldn't feel like living up to anybody's expectations in that light. Encouragement and growth have to come from your own interactions. If you are wanting to be an encouragement to others, then you must be receiving encouragement. I'm sure y'all have all heard the phrase that we are supposed to be serving and leading out of overflow. Basically, we partake and we grow from encouragement from God, and what overflows from our cup is what we teach and what we lead and serve other people through. We can't serve on an empty cup because you eventually dry out. So, you must be receiving encouragement to give encouragement. If you feel like God is challenging you to step out and support students in their walks of faith, we have a few opportunities for you. And it's great. And I intentionally, this just happened to work out. I'll tell you that Jeff didn't ask me to preach this sermon. I asked him when I could preach because I wanted to preach this before school started. And he was like, well, I'm gone this Sunday. This works well. And so it came to be. But this is not me filling in for Jeff. This is me asking to preach to y'all because this is a topic that's heavy on my heart. And not only is it heavy on my heart, this is something that they're about to get back in to their busy schedule. I mean, a lot of kids either work or take summers off. And while they might travel a lot and be around a lot of different places, most of them chaos starts when school starts because they're involved in everything. And they're busy, 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 and some of them don't know how to regulate busyness. But, so that's why I did today. I wanted to give an opportunity for you guys to help. So if you feel like God is challenging you to step out and support students in their walks of faith, we have a few options for you guys today. We have the non-invasive, go on with your everyday life kind of thing. And there's these wonderful cards up here on the altar. And I did this card twofold as for this purpose. It's a reminder that you can stick in your Bible or whatever, if you have a prayer journal or however you see fit. You can stick it in your Bible. You can stick it in a prayer journal, and it can be your reminder that, oh, hey, I need to pray for that person. So this is what we're calling the Pray For Me campaign. And on the back of these cards, it says, join in on our student ministry. To be paired with a student to pray over for this year, or to find out how you can serve alongside us, email me, and my email's on the back. And so how I hopefully see this going is these cards are on the altar, and when Trevor and his group come back up for worship in a little bit, I'm going to leave y'all with the challenge of if you'd like to come up and take one, take one. Email me. I will email you back probably sometime in this next week. And I'm going to give you a student. I'm going to give you their name. I'm going to give you a couple things that they're passionate about or their hobbies are. And then after, I'm going to keep a database of all these. And eventually, I want to get to the point to where you guys step out and you guys meet your students. And we might plan something for that later this year as that goes. But for now, all it is you come up and pick up a card and you email me and I give you a student. That is pretty easy, and you just add that student to your daily prayer, and you pray for them for whatever they're going through and whatever they're dealing with. I will say right now, parents, if you pick up one of these, I'm not giving you your kid. That's why I did this, because parents are real like, oh, I mean, Linda could easily, oh, Abby, I'll just grab Abby's and go. But that's not how I want this to be. You already pray for your kid, I hope. I want you to pray for someone else's kid. And then that has a lot more impact later down the road than Linda coming to Abby and being like, hey, I'm praying for you. It's like, gee, Mom, I hope. I mean, like, instead, Linda goes to someone else and some other kid and says, hey, I've been praying for you since school started. So there's your opportunity. And like I said, when the worship team comes back up and closes us in a little bit, y'all can come up during that song and y'all can pick up a card, or if you want to wait till after service, come up and pick a card, that's fine. If for some glorious reason we run out of cards, which praise be, that would be amazing, literally you're not missing much. You can go grab my business card out in the lobby, and my email's on there too, and I'll get you a card if you want one so you can put it in your Bible or your journal as a reminder. Secondly, teaching opportunities. I know that a lot of y'all already help, and that's a beautiful thing. This church is very, very involved in all ministries, which is a blessing, but we always are looking for more and more help. There are a few opportunities with the youth, and I've spoken to Carlene and make sure I had her blessing. There are many opportunities to help in children. She needs anything from children's church teachers to Wednesday night help, to Sunday school help, you name it, she is in the need for things. And so if you pick up a card, or if you just email Carlene or email myself and say, hey, I feel like God's wanting me to help in the children, I will direct you to her, or you can email her and she will connect with you and figure out where you can plug in. Other than that, we have a few options as well. And if you email us, email me, I will tell you what we have for service opportunities. But I'll leave you with a thought, and then we will go ahead and close. If you were involved in a youth group or a children's ministry when you were growing up, I want you to think hard on what you remember about it. Do you remember the stellar sermons or lessons that you heard as a kid? Or do you remember the individuals who stepped out of their everyday lives to give you the time of day? Will you pray with me? God, we thank you for today. We thank you for, once again, just the ability to be here. God, we have so many freedoms in the country we live in that we take for granted. And it is literally a blessing for us to be able to freely walk into this place and worship you. We thank you for the men and women that continually fight to protect that freedom. And God, I just pray as we hear of different problems and casualties around the world because of your name, God, I pray that you'll be with those churches. I pray that you'll be with those families that have lost lives for the sake of the gospel and for the sake of who you are. The ones that weren't afraid to step out and listen to the call that you placed on their hearts. I pray as we close that this congregation will be moved. And God, if it's not moved in the direction of the youth or the children, so be it. God, I just pray that you challenge them and you get them to move. We thank you for the blessing and the opportunity it is to be your children. And we love you. Amen.